Book 11, the Book of Everlasting Day, Canto 1, the Eternal Day, the Soul's Choice and the Supreme Consummation. A marvelous sun looked down from ecstasy skies on worlds of deathless bliss, perfection's home. Magical unfoldings of the eternal smile capturing his secret heartbeats of delight. God's everlasting day surrounded her. Domains appeared of sempiternal light invading all nature with the absolute's joy. Her body quivered with eternity's touch. Her soul stood close to the founts of the infinite. Infinity's finite fronts she lived in, new forever to an ever-living sight. Eternity multiplied its vast self-look, translating its endless mightiness and joy into delight, souls playing with time could share in grandeurs, ever newborn from the unknown's depths, in powers that leaped immortal from unknown heights, in passionate heartbeats of an undying love, in scenes of a sweetness that can never fade. Immortal to the rapturous heart and eyes, in serene arches of translucent calm, from wonder's dream vast cloudless skies slid down an abyss of sapphire, sunlight visited eyes which suffered without pain the absolute ray and saw immortal clarities of form. Twilight and mist were exiles from that air. Night was impossible to such radiant heavens. Firm in the bosom of immensity, spiritual breaths were seen, sublimely born, from a still beauty of creative joy. Embodied thoughts to sweet dimensions held, to please some carelessness of divine peace, answered the deep demand of an infinite sense and its need of forms to house its bodiless thrill. A march of universal powers in time, the harmonic order of self's vastitudes in cyclic symmetries and metric planes harbored a cosmic rapture's revelry, an endless figuring of the spirit in things planned by the artist who had dreamed the world. Of all the beauty and the marvel here, of all time's intricate variety, eternity was the substance and the source. Not from a plastic mist of matter made, they offered the suggestion of their depths and opened the great series of their powers. Arisen beneath a triple mystic heaven, the seven immortal earths were seen, sublime. Homes of the blessed, released from death and sleep, where grief can never come, nor any pang, arriving from self-lost and seeking worlds, alter heaven nature's changeless quietude and mighty posture of eternal calm. its pose of ecstasy immutable. Plains lay that seemed the expanse of God's wide sleep. Thought's wings climbed up towards heaven's vast repose, lost in blue deeps of immortality. A changed earth nature felt the breath of peace. Air seemed an ocean of felicity, or the couch of the unknown spiritual rest, a vast quiescence swallowing up all sound into a voicelessness of utter bliss. Even matter brought a close spiritual touch, all thrilled with the immanence of one divine. The lowest of these earths was still a heaven, translating into the splendor of things divine, the beauty and brightness of terrestrial scenes. Eternal mountains, ridge on gleaming ridge, whose lines were graved as on a sapphire plate and etched the borders of heaven's lustrous noon, climbed like piled temple stairs, and from their heads of topless meditation, heard below the approach of a blue pilgrim multitude, and listened to a great arriving voice of the wide travel hymn of timeless seas. A chanting crowd from mountain bosom slipped past branches fragrant with a sigh of flowers, hurrying through sweetnesses with revel leaps. The murmurous rivers of felicity divinely rippled, honey-voiced desires mingling their sister eddies of delight, then widening to a pace of calm-lipped muse, down many glimmered estuaries of dream, went whispering into lakes of liquid peace. On a brink held of senseless ecstasy, and guarding an eternal poise of thought, sat sculptured souls, dreaming by rivers of sound in changeless attitudes of marble bliss. Around her lived the children of God's day in an unspeakable felicity, a happiness never lost, the immortal's ease, a glad eternity's blissful multitude. Around, the deathless nations moved and spoke, souls of a luminous celestial joy, faces of stark beauty, limbs of the molded ray. In cities, cut like gems of conscious stone and wonderful pastures, and on gleaming coasts, bright forms were seen, eternity's luminous tribes. Above her, rhythming godheads whirled the spheres, rapt mobile fixities here blindly sought by the huge erring orbits of our stars. Ecstatic voices smote at hearing's chords. Each movement found a music all its own. Songs thrilled of birds upon unfading boughs, the colors of whose plumage had been caught from the rainbow of imagination's wings. Immortal fragrance packed the quivering breeze, in groves that seemed moved bosoms and trembling depths, the million children of the undying spring bloom, pure unnumbered stars of hued delight nestling for shelter in their emerald skies. Fairy flower masses looked with laughing eyes. A dancing chaos, an iridescent sea, eternized to heaven's ever-wakeful sight, the crowding petal glow of marvelous tints which float across the curtain lids of dream. Immortal harmonies filled her listening ear, a great spontaneous utterance of the heights on Titan wings of rhythmic grandeur born, poured from some deep spiritual heart of sound, strains, trembling with the secrets of the gods. A spirit wandered happily in the wind, a spirit brooded in the leaf and stone. The voices of thought-conscious instruments along a living verge of silence strayed, and from some deep, a wordless tongue of things unfathomed, inexpressible, chantings rose, translating into a voice, the unknown. A climber on the invisible stair of sound, music not with these few and striving steps aspired, that wander upon transient strings, but changed its ever new, uncounted notes in a passion of unforeseen discovery, and kept its old, unforgotten ecstasies a growing treasure in the mystic heart. A consciousness that yearned through every cry of unexplored attraction and desire, it found and searched again the unsatisfied deeps, hunting as if in some deep secret heart to find some lost or missed felicity. In those far lapsing symphonies she could hear, breaking through enchantments of the ravished sense, the lyric voyage of a divine soul, mid spume and laughter, tempting with its brow the charm of innocent Circean isles, adventures without danger beautiful in lands where siren wonder sings its lures from rhythmic rocks in ever foaming seas. In the harmony of an original sight delivered from our limiting ray of thought and the reluctance of our blinded hearts to embrace the Godhead in whatever guise, she saw all nature marvelous without fault. Invaded by beauty's universal revel, her being's fiber reached out vibrating and claimed deep union with its outer cells, and on the heart's chords made pure to seize all tones, heaven's subtleties of touch, unwearying, forced more vivid raptures than earth's life can bear. What would be suffering here was fiery bliss. All here but passionate hint and mystic shade, divined by the inner prophet who perceives the spirit of delight in sensuous things, turn to more sweetness than can now be dreamed. The mighty signs of which earth fears the stress, trembling because she cannot understand and must keep obscure in forms strange and sublime, where here the first lexicon of an infinite mind translating the language of eternal bliss. Here rapture was a common incident, the loveliness of whose captured thrill our human pleasure is a fallen thread, lay symbol shapes, a careless ornament sewn on the rich brocade of Godhead's dress. Things fashioned were the imaged homes where mind arrived to fathom a deep physical joy. The heart was a torch lit from infinity. The limbs were trembling densities of soul. These were the first domains, the outer courts, immense but least in range and least in price, the slightest ecstasies of the undying gods. Higher her swing of vision swept anew, admitted through large sapphire opening gates into the wideness of a light beyond. These were but sumptuous decorated doors to worlds nobler, more felicitously fair. Endless aspired the climbing of those heavens. Realm upon realm received her soaring view. Then on what seemed one crown of the ascent, where the finite and the infinite are one, immune she beheld the strong immortal seeds who live for a celestial joy and rule, the middle regions of the unfading ray. Great forms of deity sat in deathless tears, eyes of an unborn gaze towards her leaned through a transparency of crystal fire. In the beauty of bodies wrought from rapture's lines, shapes of entrancing sweetness, spilling bliss, feet glimmering upon the sunstone courts of mind, heaven's cupbearers bore round the eternal's wine. A tangle of bright bodies of moved souls, tracing the close and intertwined delight, the harmonious thread of lives forever joined in the passionate oneness of a mystic joy, as if sunbeams made living and divine the golden bosom Apsara goddesses in groves flooded from an argent disk of bliss that floated through a luminous sapphire dream in a cloud of raiment lit with golden limbs and gleaming footfalls, treading fairy swords, virgin motions of Bacchant innocences who know their riot for a dance of God, world linked in moonlit revels of the heart. Impeccable artists of unerring forms, magician builders of sound and rhythmic words, wind-haired Gandharvas chanted to the ear the odes that shape the universal thought, the lines that tear the veil from deity's face, the rhythms that bring the sounds of wisdom's sea. Immortal figures and illumined brows, our great forefathers in those splendors move, termless in power and satisfied of light, they enjoyed the sense of all for which we strive. High seers, moved poets saw the eternal thoughts that travelers from on high arrived to us, deformed by our search, tricked by costuming mind, like gods disfigured by the pangs of birth, seized the great words which now are frail sounds caught by difficult rapture on a mortal tongue. The strong who stumble and sin were calm, proud gods. There, lightning filled with glory and with flame, melting in waves of sympathy and sight, smitten like a lyre that throbs to others' bliss, drawn by the chords of ecstasies unknown, her human nature faint with heaven's delight. She beheld the clasp to earth denied and bore the imperishable eyes of veilless love. More climbed above, level to level reached, beyond what tongue can utter or mind dream. Worlds of an infinite reach crowned heaven's stir. There was a greater tranquil sweetness there, a subtler and profounder ether's field and mightier scheme than heavenlier sense can give. Their breath carried a stream of seeing mind. Form was a tenuous raiment of the soul. Color was a visible tone of ecstasy. Shape seen, half immaterial by the gaze, and yet voluptuously palpable, made sensible to touch the indwelling spirit. The high perfected sense illumined lived, a happy vassal of the inner ray. Each feeling was the Eternal's mighty child, and every thought was a sweet burning god. Air was a luminous feeling, sound a voice, sunlight the soul's vision, and moonlight its dream. On a wide living base of wordless calm, all was a potent and elusive joy. Into those heights her spirit went, floating up like an upsoaring bird who mounts unseen, voicing to the ascent his throbbing heart of melody, till a pause of closing wings comes quivering in his last contented cry, and he is silent with his soul discharged, delivered of his heart's burden of delight. Experience mounted on joy's colored breast to inaccessible spheres in spiral flight. There time dwelt with eternity as one, immense felicity joined rapt repose. As one drowned in a sea of splendor and bliss, mute in the maze of these surprising worlds, turning she saw their living knot and source, key to their charm and fount of their delight, and knew him for the same who snares our lives, captured in his terrifying, pitiless net, and makes the universe his prison camp, and makes in his immense and vacant vast the labor of the stars a circuit vain, and death the end of every human road, and grief and pain the wages of man's toil. One whom her soul had faced as death and night, a sum of all sweetness gathered into his limbs and blinded her heart to the beauty of the sun. Transfigured was the formidable shape. His darkness and his sad destroying might, abolishing forever and disclosing the mystery of his high and violent deeds, a secret splendor rose revealed to sight, where once the vast embodied void had stood. Night, the dim mask had grown a wonderful face. The vague infinity was slain, whose gloom had outlined from the terrible unknown the obscure, disastrous figure of a god. Fled was the error that arms the hands of grief and lighted the ignorant gulf whose hollow deeps had given to nothingness a dreadful voice. As when before the eye that wakes in sleep is open, the somber binding of a book, illumined letterings are seen which kept a golden blaze of thought inscribed within, a marvelous form responded to her gaze, whose sweetness justified life's blindest pain. All nature's struggle was its easy price. The universe and its agony seemed worthwhile. As if the choric calyx of a flower, aerial, visible on music's waves, a lotus of light-petaled ecstasy took shape out of the tremulous heart of things. There was no more the torment under the stars, the evil sheltered behind nature's mask. There was no more the dark pretense of hate, the cruel rictus on life's altered face. Hate was the grip of a dreadful amour strife, a ruthless love, intent only to possess, has here replaced the sweet original God. Forgetting the will to love that gave it birth, the passion to lock itself in and to unite, it would swallow all into one lonely self, devouring the soul that it had made its own, by suffering and annihilation's pain, punishing the unwillingness to be one, angry with the refusals of the world, passionate to take, but knowing not how to give. Death's somber cowl was cast from nature's brow. There lightened on her the Godhead's lurking laugh. All grace and glory and all divinity were here collected in a single form. All worshipped eyes looked through his. From one face, he bore all Godheads in his grandiose limbs. An oceanic spirit dwelt within, intolerant and invincible in joy, a flood of freedom and transcendent bliss. Into immortal lines of beauty rose. In him, the fourfold being bore its crown that wears the mystery of a nameless name, the universe writing its tremendous sense in the inexhaustible meaning of a word. In him, the architect of the visible world, at once the art and artist of his works, spirit and seer and thinker of things seen, Virat, who lights his campfires in the suns and the star-entangled ether is his hold, expressed himself with matter for his speech. Objects are his letters, forces are his words, events are the crowded history of his life, and sea and land are the pages for his tale. Matter is his means and his spiritual sign. He hangs the thought upon a lash's lift in the current of the blood, makes flow the soul. His is the dumb will of atom and of clod, a will that without sense or motive acts, an intelligence needing not to think or plan. The world creates itself invincibly, for its body is the body of the Lord, and in its heart stands Virat, King of Kings. In him shadows his form the golden child, who in the sun-capped vast cradles his birth. Hiranyagarbha, author of thoughts and dreams, who sees the invisible and hears the sounds that never visited a mortal ear, discoverer of unthought realities, truer to truth than all we have ever known. He is the leader on the inner roads. A seer, he has entered the forbidden realms. A magician with the omnipotent wand of thought, he builds the secret uncreated worlds. Armed with the golden speech, the diamond eye, his is the vision and the prophecy. Imagist, casting the formless into shape, traveler and hewer of the unseen paths, he is the carrier of the hidden fire He is the voice of the ineffable. He is the invisible hunter of the light, the angel of mysterious ecstasies, the conqueror of the kingdoms of the soul. A third spirit stood behind their hidden cause, a mass of superconscious, closed in light, creator of things in his all-knowing sleep. All from his stillness came as grows a tree. He is our seed and core, our head and base. All light is but a flash from his closed eyes. An all-wise truth is mystic in his heart. The omniscient ray is shut behind his lids. He is the wisdom that comes not by thought. His wordless silence brings the immortal word. He sleeps in the atom and the burning star. He sleeps in man and God and beast and stone. Because he is there, the inconscient does its work. Because he is there, the world forgets to die. He is the center of the circle of God. He is the circumference of nature's run. His slumber is an almightiness in things. Awake, he is the eternal and supreme. Above was the brooding bliss of the infinite, its omniscient and omnipotent repose, its immobile silence, absolute and alone. All powers were woven in countless concords here. The bliss that made the world in his body lived, love and delight were the head of the sweet form. In the alluring meshes of their snare, recaptured the proud, blissful members held all joys, outrunners of the panting heart and fugitive from life's outstripped desire. Whatever vision has escaped the eye, whatever happiness comes in dream and trance, the nectar spilled by love with trembling hands, the joy the cup of nature cannot hold, had crowded to the beauty of his face, here waiting in the honey of his love. Things hidden by the silence of the hour, the ideas that find no voice on living lips, the soul's pregnant meeting with infinity had come to birth in him and taken fire. The secret whisper of the flower and star revealed its meaning in his fathomless look. His lips curved eloquent, like a rose of dawn. His smile that played with the wonder of the mind and stayed in the heart when it had left his mouth, glimmered with the radiance of the morning star, gemming the wide discovery of heaven. His gaze was the regard of eternity, the spirit of its sweet and calm intent was a wise home of gladness and divulged the light of the ages in the mirth of the hours. A sun of wisdom in a miracle grove. in the orchestral largeness of his mind, all contrary seekings, their close kinship new, rich-hearted, wonderful, to each other, met in the mutual marveling of their myriad notes, and dwelt like brothers of one family, who had found their common and mysterious home. As from the harp of some ecstatic god, there springs a harmony of lyric bliss, striving to leave no heavenly joy unsung. Such was the life in that embodied light. He seemed the wideness of a boundless sky. He seemed the passion of a sorrowless earth. He seemed the burning of a worldwide sun. Two looked upon each other, soul saw soul. Then, like an anthem from the heart's lucent cave, a voice soared up whose magic sound could turn the poignant weeping of the earth to sobs of rapture and her cry to spirit song. O human image of the deathless word, how hast thou seen beyond the topaz walls the gleaming sisters of the divine gate, summoned the genii of their wakeful sleep, and under revelation's arches forced the carved, thought-shrouded doors to swing apart, unlock the avenues of spiritual sight, and taught the entries of a heavenly estate to thy rapt soul that bore the golden key? In thee, the secret sight, man's blindness missed, has opened its view past time, my chariot course, and this my tunnel which I drive through life to reach my unseen distances of bliss. I am the hushed search of the jealous gods, pursuing my wisdom's vast mysterious work, seized in the thousand meeting ways of heaven. I am the beauty of the unveiled ray, drawing through the deep roads of the infinite night the unconquerable pilgrim soul of earth beneath the flaring torches of the stars. I am the inviolable ecstasy. They who have looked at me shall grieve no more. The eyes that live in night shall see my form. On the pale shores of foaming, steely straits that flow beneath a grey, tormented sky, two powers from one original ecstasy born pace near but parted in the life of man. One leans to earth, the other yearns to the skies. Heaven in its rapture dreams of perfect earth. Earth in her sorrow dreams of perfect heaven. The two, longing to join, yet walk apart, idly divided by their vain conceits. They are kept from their oneness by enchanted fears, sundered mysteriously by miles of thought. They gaze across the silent gulfs of sleep, or side by side reclined upon my vasts like bride and bridegroom. Magically divorced, they wake to yearn, but never can they clasp, while thinly flickering hesitates uncrossed between the lovers on their nuptial couch, the shadowy eidolon of a sword. But when the phantom flame edge fails undone, then nevermore can space or time divide the lover from the loved. Space shall draw back her great translucent curtain. Time shall be the quivering of the spirit's endless bliss. Attend that moment of celestial fate. Meanwhile, you too shall serve the dual law, which only now the scouts of vision glimpse, who, pressing through the forest of their thoughts, have found the narrow bridges of the gods. Wait, patient, of the brittle bars of form, making division your delightful means of happy oneness, rapturously enhanced by attraction in the throbbing air between. Yet if thou wouldst abandon the vexed world, careless of the dark moor of things below, tread down the isthmus, overleap the flood, cancel thy contract with the laboring force, renounce the tie that joins thee to earthkind, cast off thy sympathy with mortal hearts. Arise, vindicate thy spirit's conquered right, relinquishing thy charge of transient breath under the cold gaze of the indifferent stars, leaving thy borrowed body on the sod. Ascend, O soul, into thy blissful home. Here in the playground of the eternal child, or in domains the wise immortals tread, roam with thy comrade splendor under skies spiritual, lit by an unsetting sun. As godheads live, who care not for the world and share not in the toil of nature's powers. Absorbed in their self-ecstasy they dwell. Cast off the ambiguous myth of earth's desire, O immortal, to felicity arise. On Savitri listening in her tranquil heart to the harmony of the ensnaring voice, a joy exceeding earth's and heaven's poured down, the bliss of an unknown eternity, a rapture from some waiting infinite. A smile came rippling out in her wide eyes, its confident felicity's messenger, as if the first beam of the morning sun rippled along two wakened lotus pools. O besetter of man's soul with life and death, and the world's pleasure and pain, and day and night, tempting his heart with the far lure of heaven, testing his strength with the close touch of hell, I climb not to thy everlasting day, even as I have shunned thy eternal night. For me, who turn not from thy terrestrial way, give back the other self, my nature asks. Thy spaces need him not to help their joy. Earth needs his beautiful spirit, made by thee to fling delight down like a net of gold. Earth is the chosen place of mightiest souls. Earth is the heroic spirit's battlefield, the forge where the art mason shapes his works. Thy servitudes on earth are greater, King, than all the glorious liberties of heaven. The heavens were once to me my natural home. I too have wandered in star-jeweled groves, paced sun-gold pastures and moon-silver swards, and heard the harping laughter of their streams, and lingered under branches dropping myrrh. I too have reveled in the fields of light, touched by the ethereal raiment of the winds. Thy wonder rounds of music I have trod, lived in the rhyme of bright, unlaboring thoughts. I have beat swift harmonies of rapture vast, danced in spontaneous measures of the soul, the great and easy dances of the gods. O fragrant are the lanes thy children walk, and lovely is the memory of their feet amid the wonder flowers of paradise. A heavier tread is mine, a mightier touch. There where the gods and demons battle in night, or wrestle on the borders of the sun, taught by the sweetness and the pain of life to bear the uneven, strenuous beat that throbs against the edge of some divinest hope, to dare the impossible with these pangs of search, in me the spirit of immortal love stretches its arms out to embrace mankind. Too far thy heavens for me from suffering men. Imperfect is the joy not shared by all. Oh, to spread forth, or to encircle and seize more hearts till love in us has filled the world. Oh, life, the life beneath the wheeling stars, for victory in the tournament with death, for bending of the fierce and difficult bow, for flashing of the splendid sword of God. O thou who soundest the trumpet in the lists, part not the handle from the untried steel. Take not the warrior with his blow unstruck. Are there not still a million fights to wage? O Kingsmith, clang on still, thy toil begun. Weld us to one in thy strong smithy of life. Thy fine curved, jeweled hilt, called Savitri. Thy blade's exultant smile, name Satyavan. Fashioned to beauty, point us through the world. Break not the lyre before the song is found. Are there not still unnumbered charms to weave? O subtle soul, musician of the years, play out what thou hast fluted on my stops. Arise from the strain, their first wild plain divined, and doth discover which is yet unsung. I know that I can lift man's soul to God. I know that he can bring the immortal down. Our will labors, permitted by thy will, and without thee, an empty roar of storm. A senseless whirlwind is the Titan's force, and without thee, a snare, the strength of gods. Let not the inconstant gulf swallow man's race, that through earth's ignorance struggles towards thy light. O thunderer, with the lightnings of the soul, give not to darkness and to death thy son, achieve thy wisdom's hidden firm decree and the mandate of thy secret worldwide love. Her words failed, lost in thought's immensities, which seized them at the limits of their cry and hid their meaning in the distances that stir to more than ever speech has won. From the unthinkable end of all our thoughts, and from the ineffable, from whom all words come. Then with a smile august as noonday heavens, the Godhead of the vision wonderful. How shall earth nature and man's nature rise to the celestial levels, yet earth abide? Heaven and earth towards each other gaze across a gulf that few can cross, none touch, arriving through a vague ethereal mist out of which all things form that move in space, the shore that all can see but never reach. Heaven's light visits sometimes the mind of earth. Its thoughts burn in her sky like lonely stars. In her heart there move celestial seeking, soft and beautiful, like fluttering wings of birds. Visions of joy that she can never win traverse the fading mirror of her dreams. Faint seeds of light and bliss bear sorrowful flowers. Faint harmonies caught from a half-heard song fall swooning mid the wandering voices' jar. Foam from the tossing luminous seas where dwells the beautiful and far delight of gods, raptures unknown, a miracle happiness, thrill her and pass half-shaped to mind and sense. Above her little finite step she feels, careless of knot or pause, worlds which weave out a strange perfection beyond law and rule, a universe of self-found felicity and inexpressible rhythm of timeless beats, the many-movemented heartbeats of the One, magic of the boundless harmonies of Self, order of the freedom of the Infinite, the wonder plastics of the Absolute. There is the all truth, and there the timeless bliss. But hers are fragments of a star-lost gleam. Hers are but careless visits of the gods. They are a light that fails, a word soon hushed, and nothing they mean can stay for long on earth. There are high glimpses, not the lasting sight. A few can climb to an unperishing sun or live on the edges of the mystic moon and channel to earth mind the wizard ray. The heroes and the demigods are few to whom the close immortal voices speak, and to their acts the heavenly clan are near. Few are the silences in which truth is heard, unveiling the timeless utterance in her deeps. Few are the splendid moments of the seers. Heaven's call is rare, rarer the heart that heeds. The doors of light are sealed to common mind, and earth's needs nailed to earth the human mass. Only in an uplifting hour of stress, men answer to the touch of greater things. Or raised by some strong hand to breathe heaven air, they slide back to the mud from which they climb. In the mud of which they are made, whose law they know, they joy in safe return to a friendly base. And though something in them weeps for glory lost and greatness murdered, they accept their fall. To be the common man, they think the best. To live as others live is their delight. For most are built on nature's early plan and owe small debt to a superior plane. The human average is their level pitch, a thinking animal's material range. In the long, ever-mounting hierarchy, in the stark economy of cosmic life, each creature to its appointed task and place is bound by his nature's form, his spirit's force. If this were easily disturbed, it would break the settled balance of created things. The perpetual order of the universe would tremble and a gap yawn in woven fate. If men were not and all were brilliant gods, the mediating stair would then be lost by which the spirit, awake in matter, winds, accepting the circuits of the middle way, by heavy toil and slow aeonic steps, reaching the bright miraculous fringe of God into the glory of the Oversoul. My will, my call is there in men and things. But the inconscient lies at the world's grey back, and draws to its breast of night and death and sleep. Imprisoned in its dark and dumb abyss, a little consciousness it lets escape, but jealous of the growing light, holds back close to the obscure edges of its cave, as if a fond, ignorant mother kept her child tied to her apron strings of Nasir's. The inconscient could not read without man's mind the mystery of the world its sleep has made. Man is its key to unlock a conscious door, but still it holds him dangled in its grasp. It draws its giant circle round his thoughts. It shuts his heart to the supernal light. A high and dazzling limit shines above. A black and blinding border rules below. His mind is closed between two firmaments. He seeks, through words and images, the truth, and pouring on surfaces and brute outsides, or dipping conscious feet in shallow seas, even his knowledge is an ignorance. He is barred out from his own inner depths. He cannot look on the face of the unknown. How shall he see with the omniscience eyes? How shall he will with the omnipotence force? Oh, too compassionate and eager dawn, leave to the circling aeon's tardy pace and to the working of the inconscient will, leave to its imperfect light the earthly race. All shall be done by the long act of time. Although the race is bound by its own kind, the soul in man is greater than his fate. Above the wash and surge of time and space, disengaging from the cosmic commonality by which all life is kin in grief and joy, delivered from the universal law, the sun-like, single and transcendent spirit can blaze its way through the mind's barrier wall and burn alone in the eternal sky, inhabitant of a wide and endless calm.